I've got a few notes here, but I'm not exactly sure where this talk's quite going to go. I did a Why Am I'm a Buddhist talk on Saturday at the retreat I just did, and didn't follow any of the notes. So this is going to be, I decided this talk was going to be in a bit of a different direction. So let's see what happens. So thanks for introducing me, Hannah. Yeah, so this has actually been quite a poignant time for me. So I've had a couple of months to think about this question. So I'm glad you brought up the idea of commitment. I've had my feathers ruffled recently. I had quite a hard time a month and a half ago or so, where things just seemed to come out of the blue and all this type of thing. And I struggled really badly, or so I felt. It felt like the carpet was taken from underneath me, as it were. And I felt a bit, there was nothing I could grab onto. The metaphor that was going around in my mind, I don't know if you've ever seen Gravity with Sandra Bullock and George Clooney, where Sandra Bullock gets ejected out of the space station and she's spinning around and there's nothing that she can hold onto. She's reaching out, trying to grasp onto something, but obviously she's in space and she's going around and there's nothing she can quite hold onto. And I felt like I was spinning around, and I've been sort of practicing Buddhism for quite a few years, and I was starting to beat myself up because why I've been practicing so hard, but I can't, like these emotions were so strong. And I partly felt like the Karuna appeal really sort of opened me up in some way. When you go around and knock on the doors, you have to have that bit of a vulnerability, it's your way to be able to connect with people. And so I kind of felt like it was a bit of a side effect from that. So when I really started to think about these ups and downs that I was going through, one of the things on this retreat I've just done, which was called the Still Point of the Turning World, I feel like I'm spinning around, but where is this still point? I suddenly realised that actually I'm trying to cling on to things that aren't there, things that aren't permanent. I've got this illusion in my mind that I'm trying to grasp for these things, but there isn't anything to grasp. And I realised the focus of my life started to get taken away into the future again. I've always been a man who's strived quite a lot. That's sort of my natural way of being, I think. And it's a very hard one to sort of counteract. So why am I a Buddhist? Well, I'm not sure, because Buddhism really messed up all my plans. Buddhism has, as I started to get into Buddhism, I think you do realise that Buddhism has quite big implications. There's the sort of biggest metaphor, I suppose, is the story of the Buddha leaving home, leaving everything behind, leaving his kingdom, leaving his possessions, leaving his family, his wife and his child, and going forth into homelands as a holy man looking for the truth. It's not that we all need to go and do that, but that has implications for us in terms of there's going to be views that we're going to have to give up if we are to be committed to this path and follow it. And that will probably cherish things that we're holding on to, and that will ultimately lead to possessions and material wealth, this career that we're going for. There's a lot of things that might potentially change when you become a Buddhist. So this ruffling of the feathers just recently has been a very useful time for me to go back and really sort of think, why am I Buddhist? Is this the path that I really truly want to follow? And if it is the path that I want to follow, what is stopping me being more committed? What is stopping me actually following the lessons that the Buddha taught? And essentially, they are quite scary. You do have to give up your cherished views of the world. And I think that's just a bit of a process that I was going through. So I'll talk briefly about how I discovered Buddhism. I talked a bit about that on Saturday, but I told a few people that I'm bored of it myself, so I'm going to briefly go over that. And I want to say perhaps a bit of an interesting story, something that I really haven't told many people, a bit of a secret double life that I was leading a couple of years ago. But I shall reveal that in a sec. So So I discovered Buddhism April 2012. It's a date very specific to me because it was a crux time in my life when I was going through quite a bit of depression. I was really like this was at the point where I was really trying to strive for something that was never quite coming to me. I had a lot of regrets of the past. I did really well in my undergraduate degree, but then I failed my postgraduate and came out into this big wide world, not quite able to get onto this career path that I wanted. So I was stuck in a warehouse working really hard and trying to save money to go on this to get onto this career, but it always seemed to get further and further away. It never seemed to quite get there. My mum had also been suffering from quite severe depression for the previous 10 years and had just recently tried to kill herself. And April 2012, she got diagnosed with breast cancer. So this was obviously quite struck me quite starkly. And the thing it struck me with was it put a mirror in front of my life and made me realise how much I'd missed the last 2 or 3 years. I just had just gone by, and my entire life had sort of flown past. I was thinking about the future, trying to grasp onto this past that had just left me, and I hadn't been in the present moment at all. Life had just passed me by. So, as one does when one is in an existential crisis, I got onto Google and I typed in "happiest man in the world." I wasn't looking for a philosophy or a religion. I just wanted to know what happiness, joy looked like. I literally didn't know. My life was joyless at the time, and I just realised I hadn't been living my life. So up popped Matthew Ricard, the Buddhist monk. They'd done studies on his brain and showed that they coined him the happiest man in the world. So I read his book. And so he talked about compassion, staying in the present moment, and ethics, being kind to people. And so that's what I decided to do. I was really inspired by this book. He had a TED talk as well. So I went back to my warehouse and started being in the present moment for the first time. I started being present in my life. I was present there for my mum. And all of a sudden, like, it radically changed the way I viewed life and my perspective on life. So I want to not dwell into that too much. My mum's doing very well now, by the way. This is quite a few years on, but I live with my mum. She's now a peer support worker helping people who are depressed. She did very well. It was quite an extraordinary period of my life. And just at the time, it was something I needed to go through on my own, I think. Just to put things in perspective, just to give you a bit of sort of grounding for this. I used to work in Tunbridge Wells as a personal trainer. I did that for quite a few years. And it got to the point where I thought, I'm ready to run my own business. So I set up my own business and I called it Go Beyond. Perhaps didn't know how auspicious that would be. Felt like there was something more than just the physical. It was going beyond that. So 2015 was a really good year for me in terms of the business. It started to do quite well. Then I decided December, I decided to do a challenge. A bit of a ridiculous challenge. It was to go beyond myself. So I set this challenge. I wanted to raise money for Mind, the charity Mind, which helps people with health issues, mental health issues, sorry. And I decided to run across Scotland, 100 miles, over the two highest mountains, so sort of 100 miles apart. So I was going to run over Ben Nevis, run up to the top of Ben Nevis. This was going to be at the end of October on my birthday, so it was going to be quite dark because it was going to be a new moon. Probably quite bad weather, I was guessing. Over some of the roughest terrain you could probably imagine running across. And so I set forth training. It was quite a sort of instantaneous thing. And I got a lot of people following me. That I got onto Facebook, created a website, and managed to get a lot of interest. People were helping me raise a lot of money with that. A couple of months later, the business started to go down a little bit. I think I wanted to take the business in a certain place, but it wasn't quite ready for that. I took a few too many risks, and as happens with businesses, sometimes it went down. and I couldn't manage to maintain it. But I committed to myself to finishing this run. It was really important to me, and it was really something that was going to take me beyond myself, and it was for a really important cause. So I was committed to just try my best no matter what. So I'm going to fast forward a little bit to middle of May 2016, because there's a little story that I want to focus on. My training had been going really, really well. But for the previous few months, I had moved into the forest because I couldn't afford to pay my rent anymore. But there was a nice forest that I always used to run past. So I started living out there in February. It was pretty cold and miserable when I first started. I'll talk about my third day was the hardest. The first 2 days were quite exciting. It was a bit of a novelty. I'm going forth into homelessness kind of thing. Maybe taking the word a little bit too seriously. But there was a certain sense of adventure to it. The third day, it was really starting to rain. The field that I was walking through was really muddy, and I was moving my landlady's granddaughter into my old room, so I was leaving back a little bit late. So this was about 9 o'clock, and I started to walk down there, and it must have been sort of 2 or 3 degrees, tipping it down with rain, and I started to feel a bit sorry for myself at this point. The next morning I woke up and it was -4. This was 3:30. I had to get up early for my clients to get back and wash myself and whatnot. As I walked over the crunching ground, it's a freezing cold, I came to this field and the clouds had just absolutely cleared up. It was crystal clear. All the stars were out. And I came across these two horses in the field, and they were a bit dishevelled. They didn't seem to be too well looked after. And they were there right next to the gate, which I went through. Almost seemed like they were just waiting for me. And so I went up to one of them and started stroking and thinking how hard their lives must be. And I started to think how the people, there was quite a few homeless people around Tunbridge Wells as well, I was thinking how hard they've got it. And that actually this is something which I've still committed to, still going towards. So for me it was a bit of a different scenario. I still had money that I was making. I was still able to do all my running and all this type of stuff. So it gave me a chance to have a lot of compassion. So in the middle of May, I was walking into the forest quite late this particular night because I just had a barbecue with my friends. I was on the phone to my mum and I was trying to find my tent. And I hadn't gone to the forest many times at night. It was quite hard. It was quite well hidden. I couldn't find it, and I was looking around, and after about 30 minutes, still on the phone to my mum, I was really confused. I couldn't work out where the hell my tent was, so I systematically tried to work out where it was, and I was in the place where I thought it must have been, and all of a sudden I spotted some twigs in the shape of the word sorry. Someone had nicked my tent. So it was raining, and all they had left was my waterproof sack cover. So I got in that, went to sleep for the night, woke up quite early because obviously you're not really going to get great night's sleep. I came back the next day and I was a little bit curious. I had my backpack and my boots on, but I thought I wanted to try and find out where my tent had gone. So I walked, just that sort of following my intuition, I walked a bit deeper into the forest and I saw a couple of footprints. There was lots of leaves and lots of dead bluebells around, so it was quite hard to keep following it. But I followed it as far as I thought I could go, and I stopped there. And I could hear the wind in the trees, and I was sort of looking around, and I didn't really know what else to do. But all of a sudden, I heard someone. They seemed to be walking backwards and forwards with what I thought were carrying sort of firewood. So I thought I was a bit tired. I thought I'd come back the next day. I knew I was going to be running past the forest. I'd be in my running gear, so I'd be a bit lighter. So I recounted my steps back the next day, and I walked up the hill, and I couldn't see anything. I'm sure the guy had been there the day before, but I couldn't see anything. So I had tried to have a bit of a closer look, and all of a sudden I did see a tent quite well hidden. They created this whole little campsite. So I sneaked to the next tree, looking behind, and I saw the guy. And I was just about to approach him, I suddenly thought he looked like he was squatting down, so I didn't want to interrupt him if he was having a so that might be particularly awkward. So I waited a moment, but he wasn't. So I just decided to approach him, and this most surreal thing happened. I just had this peace come over me. It was really bizarre. And as I walked up to him, there was this other guy as well, so there were two of them staying there. I walked straight up to this guy, and we both stared at each other. He looked like a bunny in headlights. And he went, "Hello." And I went, "All right." And then there was another pause, and I went, "Have you got my tent?" And he went, "Yeah, I have actually." So he sort of asked me what I was doing. I said, "I'm homeless at the moment, so I was staying in the forest." And he seemed to go, "Oh," he didn't seem to realise that might have been the case. He suddenly seemed to have a bit of empathy for me. I didn't ask him why he nicked it, but he said he worked at Millet's. So he said, "Come and meet me the next day." I sort of trusted him. And I'll give you your tent back. So I went there the next day. He'd wrapped up my tent in this brand new bag, gave me some new poles, and gave me the tent. He said, "If you don't mind just waiting a couple of days, we'll be gone out of that area. You can have that place." So a couple of days later, I came, and they created this place, which was so much better than where I was. I was next to these ponds with all these mosquitoes and sort of near some of the paths, but this was really well hidden away. So I went up there, and I stayed there for the next 8 months after that. And it was a brilliant place to stay. Never saw anyone. I just had this peace every evening. And it was wonderful. They actually came over about a month later to spend the night. They built a campfire. They were smoking their weed and having their hot dogs. And I was there eating my mixed rice and veg. And I was going to sleep a bit earlier than them, and they kept the noise down, and I made good friends with them. But that really kind of taught me in that moment to not judge people, that there are conditions which probably led to him doing that, but there was no reason to ask it. It was to approach that situation with as much loving kindness as I could muster, and just open. I was just asking. I just wanted to know where my tent was. Obviously, it was quite a surreal year for me. My life's normalised slightly more than that, but it was really everything I did was a chance to strengthen spiritually. So that obviously, you can imagine in a year of living in the forest, I went through a few obstacles. There were some really hard times. But Buddhism teaches you to stay in the present moment and have compassion for other people. Every moment of that year, I remember it really vividly, because I thought this is quite an extraordinary thing to go through. It's something which if I'm not present and in the moment, it's something that's going to slip by. I saw every moment of that year as really quite precious. It also taught me to let go of things. I let go of a lot of my possessions and things. And there was this one particular guy who I used to run past quite a lot, who was homeless in Southborough, a borough next to Tunbridge Wells. I used to run past him all the time. And he was... he obviously had it quite significantly worse than I was having it. So I came and brought him breakfast one time, and he was called Robin. And he was a really well-spoken chap. And he was just in a really rough situation, and just felt like quite hopeless about his life. So me being in the situation that I was in, and also running for people who were severely depressed, so it went through my mind. I knew a couple of people at the time who'd killed themselves. What you must go through to that at that point where you're going to kill yourself. There was nothing that, no amount of pain or obstacle that I could go through which would be anywhere near that. So any time it was starting to get a little bit difficult or a little bit rough, I would just remember that. And it was a really good time for strengthening that compassion. So the Buddha asked himself, "Why is it, when I am subject to birth, old age, sickness, death, sorrow, and defilement, that I go in search of the things that are also subject to those? Suppose I were to go in search of the unborn, the unaging, the unailing, the deathless, the sorrowless, the undefiled, the supreme security from bondage, nirvana. The path of Buddhism is firm underfoot. Success may come and go. We can use success to our advantage when we have it. But our foundations remain solid and unshakable. What does fall apart is our ego and our worldly views. Buddhism cuts to the heart of the matter. Our life might seem to crumble around us, but what we are left with is an unshakable peace and a boundless compassion and an understanding that there is no separation between you and me. That is why I'm Buddhist. Thank you.